Good evening. Hello, David. You can say hello to me later on if you want. Thank you very much, choir and musicians. It's lovely listening to you. Thank you for all your hard work. It's been tremendous. I wonder if you'll permit me to be slightly more reflective at the end of our candlelight service. This almost feels like sort of the Queen's sort of Christmas Day talk for a few minutes. I've had a difficult year. But we'll be reflecting a little bit on this whole aspect of giving. They say Christmas is the season for giving, which in some ways is the same as it's the season for spending. And the British Retail Consortium suggests that £11 billion will be spent specifically on Christmas presents in December. So someone's spending a bit of money, of which apparently, not necessarily just on the presents, about £10 billion will be put on credit cards over this period. That's quite a lot of money being spent that we haven't got. So where did all this gift-giving begin? Well, apparently the custom of gift-giving goes back to Roman festivals of Saturnalia and Calends, where high-ranking officials would give gifts to the emperor at the time of the winter solstice. Apparently some of the gifts they used to give would be twigs from sort of sacred gardens. I mean, how do you wrap them? I don't know whether they wrap them and put bows on, but twigs sounds like a great idea for a present for me. But the presents weren't really sort of Christmas presents as such, but more a celebration of the birth of the sun god. So to the early church, they thought, man, this is a really bad idea, all this pagan gift-giving and giving twigs and marking things for the emperor. But that people couldn't get out of their system. So in a sense, they justified this within a Christian tradition by looking at the giving of gifts of the Magi. And also figures like Nicholas also sort of reinforce this idea of gift-giving as a celebration at this time of year. In a way that gift-giving didn't really take off until the mid-19th century where, Americans, it's a commercial thing, began to shift from exchanging small, simple gifts to making it more consumer-driven approach to Christmas and with big gift exchanges. And the magic of Santa and the presents is captured in the poem we had earlier when he fills the kids' stockings with presents. And so the whole thing sort of snowballs as a sort of economic, sort of commercial thing as well, other than the presents that Santa sends, which are slightly different for the ones mums and dads get. I said that for the children. It was the Grinch who said, maybe Christmas doesn't come from a store, maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more. Now, I've got to confess, now I'm generally a fairly smiley person, but I can be, and my wife's here, and she can back this up, I can be a bit of a Christmas grump. I don't know what it is. My wife is lovely and generous, and I'm a little bit more, well, do they really need it? Well, is that a really reasonable price to pay? I'm just a little bit at times of a bit of a Christmas grump. I hate wasting money, and I think it's something to do with the way I've been brought up. To my amusement, we both received our third dressing gowns last year. And now on the back of the door, we have a collection of dressing gowns. That, for me, it just embodies Christmas gift giving. And if anyone wants to give me a dressing gown this year to make it four, don't. I've actually got more dressing gowns now than I have smart outfits. It'd be interesting to look at the psychology of Christmas giving and the whole discussions that go on within households and how people do it. If it's the thought that counts, then I'm probably in trouble with that one as well. Give me a list of what to buy, ideally from Amazon, so I never have to darken a shopping mall, and I'm a very happy man. Very little thought required, very little energy expended. And the last time I did risk the idea of thinking about what to buy and having an idea myself, my brain concluded that a blender for my wife was a good idea, but it wasn't. I've got to say that this Christmas I've been challenged about how me-centred Christmas can become. Even within a tradition of gift-giving, we can become focused on what we want to give, to get, rather than what we can give to others. Maybe we're more aware ourselves of our own needs and wants because they're so immediate to us. We're maybe much more aware of ourselves and our needs than we are of the needs of others. And sometimes we confess it's hard to think of what people really want. In fact, my guess is sometimes we don't really know what we want ourselves, what we really want. And if I was to ask you what you really wanted this Christmas, what is really important for you? It won't be the dressing gown or the PlayStation or the new watch, probably. What do you really want? Maybe it's got to do with relationships, with time, with health, with love, with security. Most of these issues probably around family and relationships and friendships. As Peter said earlier, it's better to give than to receive. These are from the lips of Jesus who said this. Interesting, there are studies out which show that givers are happier than receivers. Interesting, even psychologists are sort of studying sort of people. Givers are happier than getters. And maybe we know this from our own experience. It's lovely to be able to give and to bring joy to someone through the act of giving. Giving's a cultivated attitude, a way of orientating ourselves towards others. It's through giving that we extend ourselves to others, that we speak of their worth to us by offering something of cost to us. And I've been challenged by accounts of people who've gone and done great good at great cost themselves. It was lovely to hear sort of Tamsin sharing about her trip to Haiti. Just the idea, this the thought of going and giving of ourselves for the good of others. Now, I know we can always feel guilty thinking we should do more, and my school reports have that sort of written all over them. But we can also be at times aware of when our lives become orientated towards ourselves and what we can get rather than what we can give. How easy it is to move from loving people and using things to using people and loving things. So may I challenge you and encourage you this Christmas to choose the better way, which is the way of giving, to give yourselves to others. This may not be reflected in the way you use your checkbook. It isn't just about how we spend our money, but it may be costly ways of giving ourselves in our relationships and to our neighbours. But this is the better way to be. And I'm challenged in my own heart and in my own attitudes to turn myself outwards towards others and again to renew my commitment to give rather than to receive. In his book, Affluenza, Oliver James maps out the condition of work overload, debt, anxiety and waste that results from the dogged pursuit of having more, of keeping up with the Joneses. In our modern society, we've become unable to define ourselves who I am, and we've become defined by what I have. The pursuit of happiness has come through the accumulation of goods and through shopping. And though I say I don't like visiting shopping malls, I still do purchase things online, which is my happy way of shopping. But these things have replaced the pursuit of happiness from the disciplines of the inner self and through the relationships we have with others. We've become economic units rather than relational people. It was St. Thomas a Kempis who said about the joy of choosing to have less, whereas in our culture we're always striving to have more. He spoke about the joy of choosing to have less. Now I know if we all adopted this, it would ruin our capitalist economy and everything would go really pear-shaped. But it's not in a sense economy which drives us, but advertising and the creation of desire, which actually isn't really based on need. Now I don't want to this Christmas hold myself out as a shining example of someone who's learnt to choose to have less. I'm challenging myself that as I reflect this Christmas. And there are those of you who know my particular desire to wear branded goods. And I'm just aware as I say this, I've got animal written across my sweatshirt, which I'm slightly embarrassed about now. But I've been sucked into the lie that happiness comes from the accumulation of goods. And I want to challenge myself and challenge you to think where our joy is found. As a Christian, the birth of Christ speaks to me of the gift of giving. There's the human dimension to the story. The giving of Joseph to stay with his wife, a great act of sacrifice when he was actually quite, you know, socially shamed by the fact his wife had become pregnant before they become married. And he chose to stay with her. The giving of Mary to bear this child as every mother who's born a child, and the self-giving of the mother. The giving of the Magi and their gifts. But more fundamentally, through this story, as we've heard earlier, and as we reflected upon it, is the giving of God to us, and ultimately the self-giving of Christ for us. That God is not just out there somewhere, distant, some super being, but has made himself known to us so that we could know him ourselves. The ancient gods of Rome and Babylon and the ancient Near East, they needed to have their offerings to be appeased. But the God who reveals himself in Scripture through the story of Jesus Christ is known not by what he demands of his people, but what he gives to them and does for them. The hymn writer says that he emptied himself of all but love, speaking of Christ, in his coming to earth. And in his self-giving, and in my reflection upon this, it draws me time and time again to his side. Love to the loveless shown, again, is written about him. This self-giving love of Christ, who came so that we could reconnect with God. He came to make God known to us and for us. It's a time for giving, and it's a time for forgiving. We're all aware, particularly at Christmas, of the importance of community, of family, of significant people to us. One of the most tragic things of Christmas, in a sense, is those who have to spend it alone. Being with others is such an important part of the occasion for us. We know the importance of community. And I was at the children's carol concert at Bishop Road School earlier, and it's got these lovely sort of starry-eyed, hair done in bunches, children singing beautifully away. But they're singing songs like, "We're going to sing forever until war stops, and we're going to sing to forever, you know, together until people don't get bullied, and everyone's going to be your friend, and I'm going to be your friend, and you're going to be my friend." And it was a lovely, beautiful sentiment. But I was thinking, as I was listening to that, it's hard enough within families for us to get on with your loved ones at times, let alone your enemies. And although it's great to hear children singing that, we're aware within our relationships of some of the struggles that we have. Secularists and Christians both maintain a vision of love, peace and understanding, but the reality for us at the moment is actually of homes that are a lot more difficult to get on with. And we can speak about Christmas being a family time, and it is, but for a lot of families that's a difficult time. And there are issues. And we're aware of broken relationships with each other, and potentially and possibly for some here, the broken relationship with God, where there isn't that sense of connection. And as we thought about giving, I'd like to suggest that one of the greatest gifts that we can give and receive this Christmas is that of forgiveness. One of the greatest gifts that we can give and receive is that of forgiveness. Many of us this Christmas stand in need of forgiveness and need to forgive others. And I've been challenged as I thought about resentments that I can carry against others. And if I were to list the things and the people I am resentful towards, or the people I've hurt and who I need to ask forgiveness from. Because what these things do in our lives are they're like little bricks in a wall that come and get taller and taller and taller until we are enclosed by them. And they separate us from one from each other and us from God. And I know of so many people, and I will include myself, who've got long memories at times. Family memories of things that were said and things that were done. And things with other people, words that were spoken, when we were let down, when they didn't treat us properly as we deserved. We can carry these hurts and these resentments. And the impact they have is they break our relationship. And even justified hurts block and make barriers between us as individuals. Jesus Christ came to offer forgiveness, to bear in his body the pain and hurt of the offence. There are two things we can do when we're hurt. We can get even, or we can take it upon ourselves and continue to love. To hear the words, "You are forgiven," restores relationships. I just talk about my home relationship with my wife. When I've done something wrong, which occasionally happens, I've got to confess. And if not only have I done it wrong, I've actually admitted to it, that's slightly less frequent. But actually that word that says, "Actually, I forgive you. I put it behind." That is so liberating. That is so much better than anything else that I can receive. Because you know in that moment that you're restored. Or when I actually will say, I forgive you. I'm not going to harbour this hurt and this resentment against you. The release that comes there and we are restored. And we know in our lives the greatest, the most important thing is our relationships with one another before all the things that we can have. And so I want to say to you, this Christmas, one of the best gifts that you can give or you can receive is the gift of forgiveness. And that works on our levels, in our friendships and on our homes. But ultimately, and maybe most importantly, it works on our relationship with God, who offers us forgiveness and invites us to be restored in a relationship with him. That ultimately is why Christ came. And that ultimately is the greatest gift that we can receive. God bless.